Today's Shin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chav Vav. And we begin on the very bottom of Chafei Omid Beis with the bottom line with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Bechor, Shenofa Lebor. Now we have to remind ourselves of what the din is of Bechor. A Bechor is the firstborn animal that comes from the behemos, the goats, the cows, or sheep. That is a firstborn animal, and it has Kiddush as Bechor. It is supposed to be brought as a carbon. The Meir Yemein of the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and we'll again have this din of Bechor. Nowadays, Nebuch, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a Bechor cannot be brought. And you have to wait till it gets a mum, and then it can be eaten as a balas mum. So, here we're dealing with post-Beis HaMikdash. So, you have a Bechor, Shenof al-Abar. It falls in on Yontif into a pit. So, the question is, are you allowed to go and take it out of the pit? So, as Rashi points out, Bechor b'zman hazeh ein nishchat below mum. Unless it has a mum, you can't shecht it. Because kodshim hu, it is a carbon, and it's kadosh, and hashochto kihushu tam, if you were to go shecht it, when it's tam, without a mum, you'd be shechting kodshim b'chutz, and that is serious crime, that is an onus of kares. So therefore, if it fell into the bar, and you're concerned, Rashi says, yore pen yomushom, it may die down there, but you're not allowed to go and shecht it down there, because you don't know if it has a mum. So therefore, you go and call for a mumcha. Rav Yehuda says, Omer, he says, Yared Mumcha Viyira. You send an expert, a person, Rashi says, Baki Bimumin, a person who's gotten smicha to be declaring, paskening whether this is a mum kavua, a permanent mum, or it's something else, a mum over, a transitory mum, or not a mum at all. La'avchin be mum kavua, le mum over. He can distinguish between whether this is a permanent mum, and therefore the animal is no longer a tam, and therefore it can be shechted, even post-Beis HaMikdash, or no, it's still a tam, and therefore it is not allowed to be shechted. So that's what this mumcha would do. According to Rav Yehuda, he goes down into the bar, and he makes a declaration. V'yira, does it or does it not have a mum kavua? We turn to chavov of an aleph. Im yesh b'mum, yala, v'yishchot. If it does have a mum, he declares it, so then now it's allowed to be shechted on yontif. But this presents a problem, because Rav Yehuda, as the top Rashi tells us, Rav Yehuda holds for Mukta. Mukta is slave. Famous machlokas throughout Shas, we've already mentioned this a number of times. Rav Yehuda holds there is a concept of Mukta, and Rav Shimon is much, much more lenient with the concept of Mukta. Now, if this animal did not have a mum before Yontif, so then there's no way Rav Yehuda would allow a mum that occurred on Yontif to mata the animal, because the animal's Mukta. There was no expectation at the start of Yontif that this animal would be eligible to be eaten, because it's kachim. It's a Bechor, and therefore can't be eaten unless it gets a mum. And you're not allowed to create a mum on it. So therefore, it must be that if it's a mum, hanofel bo b'yontif, Tap Rashi says, lo shari. It would not be permissible. The lav daite ilave. There's no way that he was thinking about it meyespel the day before. And therefore, what the Mishnah is telling us, Rashi explains, v'hari kamar, Bechor bal mum. It already had a mum beforehand. You just don't know if it's a transitory mum or a permanent mum, a mum over or a mum kavua. That you didn't show it to the Talmud Chacham Erev Yontif, whatever the reason. Latiro, to say, yes, this is a mum kavua, and it is no longer kachim that can be brought as a karban, but it's a bechor that has a mum, and can be eaten by the Kohen. The Kohen can give it to anybody that he wants, even a non-Kohen can eat it, but it belongs to the Kohen. And now, this animal that wasn't examined by the mumcha, by the rav, it nafal lebar b'yontif. So now there was a mum beforehand, and there was an expectation that maybe you'd be able to go and eat it on yontif. So therefore, it's not muktzah. So Rav Yehuda's opinion is you're allowed to be dan b'choros on yontif. Yerid mumcha v'yira. The mumcha can go down into the pit and see if it's a mum kavua. So it was a mum kavua. Shoyabo meyesmo. It was a mum kavua. And then, if that's the case, yala v'yishchot, you're allowed to bring the animal up. It's not muktza. And you can bring the animal up and be shochet it. Mishum de muktza leka, de meyesmol daite alave, because there's no problem with muktza. The only problem is, are you allowed to judge it on yontif? And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, you're allowed to judge it on yontif. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Kol she'ein mumo nikar. Unless you know for a fact that it had a mum from the day before, it's not considered mumchad. It's not considered prepared. Now, again, Rabbi Shimon isn't concerned about muktzah. Rashi reminds us over here, lav mishum muktzah osalei. It's not because it's a muktzah problem. Kadol lesle muktzah. The typical opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that we don't hope for muktzah. Only with grogros and smukin. You have these dried fruits, these dried figs, these dried grapes. Raisins that are becoming these dried fruits on Shabbos. So they're set aside. They're definitely not usable. They're not edible. So that's the only muktzah that really Rabbi Shimon holds from. So this animal is not considered muktzah. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon allow you to go send the mumcha down into the bar? El lefi shematiro b'yontif. The problem is he doesn't allow you to go b'matir or b'char on yontif. Because nira kimisakno. And the side he says the gear should be dahava le kidon din. It looks like you're judging something, the gozer bay mishum shvus, and that you're not allowed to do. That's a din derabbanan that you can't do that. And therefore, v'alchi kamar, ein ataros so heter, the rav can't go be matir this. Ve'inu muchan lahachshir, and therefore it's not muchan. But it's not a question of mukta, it's a question that it's not muchan, and therefore can't be used. Tosos goes through this Rashi in Arichos, and he disagrees with it, but we'll keep it simple like Rashi. In any event, Mari now asks, "B'mai komifli? What exactly is the machlokas over here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon?" We already said most of it outside, based upon Rashi, but now the Gemara will go into it. The Gemara says, "E neimah, if it's just simply beroin mumin komifli, the only thing they're arguing about is can a talmud chacham, a mumcha, go and declare a mum kavua on yontif or not?" So then, the review of the Savar, Rowan Mumin Beyontif, Rabbi Shimon Savar, Ain Rowan Mumin Beyontif, if that's all you're saying, that this is the Machlokis, that's the only thing that they're arguing about, can you or can you not have the expert, Rav, the Mumcha, go and declare a Mum Kavua on Yontif or not, so then why do they have to give us the case of the animal going in the bar? Why is it Bechar Shenof al the bar? The Liplagu, you could have just said, Berowin Mumin the Alma. You could have just had a case, an animal that's a Bechar got a Mum. So review this says, the Rav can paskin it, and Rav Shimon says the Rav cannot paskin it. Why did you have to give me Bechar Shenof al Bar? Why did you have to give me that case for? So where it says it's Drichle, that you need it. Why? What's the Chiddush? Because Sol Kodai Techaminach, if you didn't tell me that case, you know what I would have said? I would have said, Mishum Tsar Bali Chayim, if the animal did fall into a bar, because of the, now it's a big machlokus, whether it's a din derabanan or a din deraisa tsar bali chayim, everybody agrees that it's a din, it's just a question of whether it's deraisa derabanan. So because of tsar bali chayim, we would have done a haroma, we would have done a trick. La orim ulaske k'Rabbi Yeshua. We would have done, which we'll learn this in the Gemara and Daf Lamed Zayin, Rabbi Yeshua had a case of oso v'yes b'no. There is a halacha that you now let go shech the mother animal and the baby animal on the same day. What happens if both of them fell into a pit? So you can only bring up one of them to shecht. So therefore, you don't want to leave them in the pit. So how do you go about doing it? So Rabbi Yeshua had a great aid to that. He said, bring up the first one, let's say bring up the mother, and say, I'm planning to shecht it, therefore you're allowed to. When you bring it up, though, now you brought it up, you say, nah, I challenged my mind, I'd like to shecht the baby animal. And then you're allowed to go bring the baby animal up, and you have to shecht one of the two, and therefore you can bring both up in that way. That's Laharim Ulaske Rabbi Yehoshua. So just like over there, because of Tsar Bali Chayim, Rabbi Yehoshua said that you're allowed to do that. So I might have thought you could do the same thing over here with the Bechor Shenofal into the bar. So I might have said that even though Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to normally do it over here, Rabbi Shimon might have said that you are allowed to do this because you should do this Haroma like Rabbi Yehoshua, Kamash Balan, that you're not allowed to do that. Now, what's the difference? Why over there did Rabbi Yeshua allow that harama and it works, and over here we wouldn't say that harama? So the Mefarshim point out that that harama worked over there because technically you could shecht either one of those two, the mother or the baby animal. It would be no problem. One of them is perfectly permissible to shecht on yontif. But in our case, it's not permissible to shecht this animal on yontif if it doesn't have a mum. And therefore, you can't go, according to Rabbi Shimon, and paskin this din because it may in fact not have a mum, and then you'd have a problem. You would have brought it up for naught. Okay, so therefore, that's why it had to give us the case of Bechor Shenof al Bar, and not just a straightforward case of can you or can you not see Mumim on Yontif? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, Rabbi Shimon says no. So Mara says, if this were true, if that's the reason why we have it in Mishnah, to teach us that even in the case of Tzar Bali Chaim, Rabbi Shimon doesn't let you do it, so then, Ihachi, if this is the reasoning, so then why did it say by Rabbi Yehuda, V'yim Lav, if it doesn't have a Mum, Lo Yishchot, he should have said, instead of just in lav lo yishchot, he should have said lo yale the yishchot b'boyele. That's what he should have said if it's talking about this consideration for tzar bali chayim. So Mora says lo tzricha the avad v'aski. No, so therefore the chiddush is, why is he telling us over here this din? It's because what happens if the person did bring it up? The avar v'aski. So sol kedai techaminach, I might have said l'shachtei, that you are allowed to go and shecht it, kamash v'lan, that even in this situation, Rabbi Shimon would say that you're not allowed to go and shecht it. Or he says, what? L'shachtei? Who would add a havamina that you're allowed to go and shecht it? Ha tam hu. It's a tam. So what havamina would you have that you're allowed to go shecht it? So again, the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. No, you needed it for the following Chiddush. The Nafa Be Muma, that it did have a mum fall to it. And therefore, now if you bring it up, you might have said that you are allowed to go and shecht it. Gemara says, Hey, Vaha Muktzahu. How could you say you can go and shecht it? It is Muktzah. That was the problem we pointed out from Rashi before. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds for Muktzah, wouldn't let you go bring it up. So therefore, now we give the teretz that we pointed out before from Rashi. Ella, what is the case over here that we're talking about? And Ibn Davka had to give us this case, the bar that the Bechor fell into, a bar, the Nafa Be'mum Over Me'er Yontif. This Bechor had a transitory mum that had occurred before Yontif started. And therefore, V'hashta Havelei Mum Kavua. And now it has a mum Kavua. So I might have thought, Ma'u Detema, that since it already has a transitory mum, the person, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, would not hold that it's muktzah, because the daite ilave, he has some hope that he'll be able to go and eat this. Maybe this transitory mum will turn into a mum kavua, and therefore the nishchate, and then you would be allowed to go and shecht it. So therefore, kamash v'lon, the chiddush is, even in this situation, Rabbi Yehuda considers it muktzah, and that's why you wouldn't be allowed to go and bring it up. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would allow the expert to go down into the bar and check out the mum over that was there present at the beginning before Yontif started. So if that wasn't the mum over, if that was a mum kavua, then Rabbi Yehuda would let you go, but not from this new mum that was created on Yontif, that he wouldn't allow. As Rashi clearly says, in Dibro Masl Komashvulon, di lo have kavua me'erev Yontif, if it wasn't a mum kavua from Erev Yontif, then lo yishchot. You're not allowed to go shecht it because Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mishum de muktzah machmas iser habe. Even though there's a hope in this person's mind that maybe it will turn to a mum that is kavua. No, it is still muktzah because it's also to go and shecht it. That's opinion number one. Or inami, Mishum de ova viaske. Or we don't allow you to go and shecht it because you weren't allowed to bring it up. And it's like a knas that you weren't allowed to go and bring it up. So even if you brought it up and now it does have a mum over, it still is not allowed to be shecht it. That is the final opinion. Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanon, we bring down the following brisa. Now there are two girsas over here. I'll read you the girsa that we have, which is Bechor Tam. This is the Bechor that is unblemished, Shenafa Labar. And that is Rashi's first girsa over here. And we will learn the Gemara with this girsa. Rashi later on does point out that there is another girsa over here. And this other girsa is, you can find this about 10, 15 lines up in the bottom, Rashi, Loshun Acher, Lo Garas Bereisa Bechor Tam. That we're not dealing over here with a Bechor Tam. Elo, it's the same exact as our Mishnah. It's talking about a Bechor Shenafa Labor, which we've already explained, is an animal that had a mum before Yontif. So there would be another way to learn this Gemara now, but again, we'll learn it like Rashi with the Girsa that we have, which is again, Tana Rabbanan, Bechor Tam, if you have an unblemished Bechor, Shenafa Labor, that fell into the bar, so it did not have a mum beforehand. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, this is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rashi points out, don't get confused. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is Rabbi, the great redactor of the Mishnayis. V'lav hainu Rabbi Yehuda demasnisen, and that's different. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is different than the Stam Rabbi Yehuda that we have in the Mishnah. The Stam Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, the famous Bar Plukta of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's who Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are, and this is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the great Rabbi. So, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, not Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi tells us, in this situation where Bechor Tam fell into the bar, Omer, Yered Mumcha V'yira. He says that a Mumcha is allowed to go down into the pit and see, does it have a Mum now? Im yesh bo mum yale. And if it did develop a Mum right now, you are allowed to bring it up, the Yishchot, and you're allowed to go and shecht it, because he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the din of Muktzah. So therefore, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds like Rabbi Shimon. He's not concerned about Muktzah. And therefore, if he gets a mum right now, so a person always has his mind that maybe he'll get a mum, and therefore, there is no Muktzah. It's not like Grogros Utsmukin. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would say that you are allowed to have the mumcha go down into the bar, and if it did get a mum acquired now, you can bring it up and shecht it. But if it didn't get a mum, then you have to leave it down there. Lo yishchot. You're not allowed to go and bring it up and shecht it. Rashi says that im lav here is the av rav yaski. Even if you did bring it up, lo yishcho, you're not allowed to shecht it. Even afilu nafal b'mum liachar elo, if it got a mum afterwards, separately, unrelated to the falling into the bar, and this is knasahu, this is a knas, we punish him, mishum the av rav yaski, because he went and brought it up when he wasn't allowed to. Alternatively, Rashi says, lo yishchot means lo yale b'haromas shchita. You're not allowed to bring it up with the ruse that you're going to go shecht it. Rashi then goes into a whole discussion about this girsa. We'll leave it for another time. So right now we'll learn it simple, like the first girsa, that you're not allowed to go and bring it up. And if you did go and bring it up, it's a knas, and that's why you're not allowed to shecht it, not in the pit, and certainly not when you bring it up. That is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's opinion. Amalo Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is a contemporary of Rabbi. This is important. We'll see later on in the Gemara. And here it says, Hari Amru, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya asked to Rabbi, Hari Amru, they've said, these are great people. This is the earlier generations, Rashi explains. Rabboseinu Doros Shilofaneinu, the great Torah authorities that are older than us from the previous generation, said, Ain Rowan Mumin. So that's our Gemara. Hari Amru, these great sages said that you're not allowed to go see a Mum Biyantif. And Rashi continues and he says, this is based upon the idea that Rebbe was the Talmud of those people, such as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Rashi brings down where we see this from, and it says that Rabbi Shimon Menasya told Rebbe that these previous generations argue with you and said that you're not allowed to go and investigate, check it out, does it have a mum or not? Hari Amru, Ein Rowan Mum Biyantiv. So how can you, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, argue with the previous generation? Now what exactly is this? Ketzad? Where do we find that this previous generation said this? So it's the following brisa. No lad bo mum ne'erv yontif, if the Bechor did get a mum on Erev Yontif, so it never was checked out in Erev Yontif, so on Yontif, Ein Mevakrin Oso Biyantiv. You're not allowed to go and check it out on Yontif. Now, we'll see in a moment, this means l'chatchila. But b'di'evit, if you did check it out, and a mum was declared to be a mum kavua by the mumcha, then you would be allowed to shecht it, because you had in mind about it beforehand, and you shouldn't check it on Yontif. L'chatchila, that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon Menasi said, Hari Yomru, Ein Rowan Mumin b'yontif l'chatchila, so therefore you shouldn't go and check this out, even if it had the mum before Yontif. And then it says, No lad bo mum biyantif, we turn to chavav on mebeis, if the animal got the mum on yantif itself, so in this situation, Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is our Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Shimon Menasya, this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omer, ein ze min hamuchan, this is not considered prepared. Again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold for muktzah, but he says, lo yishchot, you're not allowed to go shecht it, because it looks like you're misaking, and you're not allowed to go and judge on Yontif. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Zemin Amuchan, and we'll see this means even b'di'evet. And then Vishavin, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the famous Baal Tukta, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, they both agree, Vishavin, Shim Nolad Hu Umumo Imo. If this mother gave birth to this Bechor, the cow gave birth to the calf on Yontif itself, and it was born with the Mum, and we'll see, the basin is there, so it never had a shas that it was aser. So then, in this situation, in this case of nolad hu umumo imo, shezeh min hamuchan, then both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would say that this is considered min hamuchan. Now, this is the brisa that we brought down by Rabbi Shimon Menasya to tell us that the opinion of the previous generation, including Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon, says that you're not allowed to be mevaker the mumim on Yontif. And therefore, that's Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya telling Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, how could you argue with the previous generation? Darish Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, darshin the following. He said, no lad hu umumo imo, in the case where the mother cow or goat or sheep gives birth, and the baby that is born has a mum at the time of birth, mevakrin oso biyontif l'chatchila. He says that you are allowed to go and check this out l'chatchila. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna darshined this brisa where it said v'shavim shim nolad hu mumo imo shezem in amuchan, he darshined it l'chatchila, you're allowed to go and check this out and declare it a mum kavua and shecht this baby as a non-tam b'chor. Abba Rav Nachman tells him, Abba Toni. There's a three-way machlokis as to who this Abba is referring to. Incidentally, in the art scroll, Rashi's over here, there's a printing error. He says Aval Toni, but in almost all the other Gemaras that I looked at, it says Abba Toni, and that's the right girsa. Now, Rashi's understanding, it's talking about Al-Aviv Kamar, that Rav Nachman is talking about his own father. He said, my father, Abba Toni. He's the one that said the following, and we'll see in a moment what he said, that's going to argue with what you, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, understood. Vishavin means l'chatchila. I'll show you that it means b'di'evet. And he says, my father said so. Now, the problem with Rashi is that we don't find that Rav Nachman's father was a big Talmud Chacham. And therefore, it would be unlikely, according to some, that Rav Nachman would be quoting his father. So they suggest another possibility that he's referring to Rav. Rav's name was Abba. So Rav Nachman said Abba, meaning Rav was Tani. He's the one that said it. But again, many of the Mefarshim dislike that approach because Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Rav. He wasn't a Talmud Chaver, and he never would have called his Rebbe by his first name. So therefore, it can't be talking about Rav. And in addition, Rav was called Abba Arucha, and therefore it wouldn't have just been called Abba. So they reject that. And therefore, there are those that suggest that Rav Nachman is talking about Rav Huna, Rabba's father. And Rav Nachman is saying, your father, Abba Tani. And since he was a colleague of Rav Huna, he could refer to him by the name of Abba. They bring some sources where Rav Huna was sometimes known as Abba. In any event, whoever this Abba was, Rav Nachman says to Rabba by Rav Huna that the following brisa was brought down. Im avar ubakru, if in fact they went and they checked out this animal, Mavukar. It is considered Mavukar, but that means Bidi Eved. The Rashi's here are found on the Tosfos, sorry, there are no Tosfos on this page. So Rashi says over here that it's Vishokhato Lechachila if you went and did this Bikur, this investigation, this paskening, but that's only Bidi Eved. So Rav Nachman tells him, how can you, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, say that you're allowed to go do this Lechachila, Mavakun Oso Biyantiv Lechachila, it's only Bidi Eved. Yat Amris Mavakun Oso Lechachila. So this is the kasha that Rav Nachman asks on Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Amar Abaye says, no, Rabba Bar Rav Huna is correct. Kavase de Rabba Bar Rav Huna Mistabra. He actually makes very good sense. Why? Because we have a brisa. This brisa that we brought down, Midiktoni Tlosa Bobby. This brisa, as I had already alluded to, at the very top of the Amud, starting on the Amud Aleph, has three parts to it. Number one, no lad bo mum neir v'yontiv, ein v'akrin oso v'yontiv, and that means l'chatchila, who, the low. Ha di evit shapir domi, that you should have done it on Erev Yontif, and therefore you shouldn't do it l'chachila. If you ask a shayla, the Rav's going to say, no, you can't go do it on Yontif. But if you didn't ask a shayla, and the Rav went and paskened it for some reason, so then bid the evit, it's good, shapir domi. That's case number one. Second part is no lad bo mum bi yontif, if the mum occurred on yontif, so then Rabbi Shimon Omer, as we've already said several times, ein ze min amuchad, he says, you're not allowed to go and pasken this, it's not allowed. It's like masaking, you're fixing it. And this is dafilu di eved namilo. Even bid the eved, you can't go and paskin this. And then the third part, v'hadur tani, v'shavin, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold, shim nolad, and the bach adds the word hu, umamo, umumo, imo, and he says he do this for the entire page, v'chei mechola amud. Every time it says nolad, umumo, imo, it means nolad hu, the baby was born, umumo, imo. At the time of the birth, the mum kavua was already present. Shezeh min amuchon, and dafilu lechatchila nami. That implies even lechatchila, exactly as Rabba Bar Huna learned it, and not like Rav Nachman questioned him. So therefore, this is what Abaye says, kavose, the Rabba Bar Huna, makes sense from this brisa. Aye, the Gemara says, v'ho kiyosa Rav Hoshaya. Now, the brises of Rav Chia and Rav Hoshaya are very authentic. So here, the Gemara now quotes, kiyosa Rav Hoshaya, when Rav Hoshaya came, Osav Isi Masnisa Biyodei. He came with the following brice in his pocket. He came with the following brice in his hand. And it said, Beferish, Bain Shinolad Bo Mum Erev Yontif, whether the Mum was on Erev Yontif, or Bain Shinolad Bo Mum Bi Yontif, or if the Mum occurred on Yontif, the Chachamim Omrim. Again, this is plural. The majority opinion is, Ein Zemin Amuchan, you're not allowed to go and do this even Bidi Eved. So therefore, Rav Hoshaya's opinion is, like Abaye said, that you're not allowed to do this even Bidi Eved. And now Rashi points out, this is talking about Bidi Eved. U'mehashto al-korchach v'shovin. Then the next case, Shimnolad hu umumo imo, shizeh min ha-muchon Bidi Eved kamar. In the first two cases, it's not good even Bidi Eved. And then in the third case, it's good only Bidi Eved. So therefore, Rav Hoshaya clearly holds, like the opinion that Rav Nachman questioned Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and Rav Nachman has a brisa brought down by Rav Hoshaya, and Rabba Bar Rav Huna had the first brisa that we brought down. And now the Gemara questions that. Gemara says, so what? Even though Rav Hoshaya came down with a brisa, so why are we ignoring the first brisa? Velakasha, you have a steer in the brisas. Huh? Why are you accepting Rav Hoshaya's brisa more than you're accepting the first brisa we brought down? And here the Gemara tells us something very interesting. Hahi, the first price that was brought down by Ado Bar Uchme. He. And Ado Bar Uchme was a great Talmud Chacham, I'm sure, but the Mishabesh Vitoni. Rashi explains that he made mistakes. Rashi does call him Chacham Echad, but Shayubakirimbo, Shayagores Mishnayis, he would learn the Mishnayis, the Brises, Umishkach Umishabshal, but he would forget them and he would make errors in them. Therefore, as a result, the more authoritative Brice is Rav Hoshaya's Brice. As I said, Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya, their Brices are in general the most authoritative Brices. But here, it's also against a specifically well-known not to be authoritative Brice, as brought down by Ado Bar Uchme. Now, I can't really find out anything about this great Talmud Chacham. I don't want to tell you it's not a great Talmud Chacham. He's mentioned in the Gemara, Ado Bar Uchme. But I thought maybe Uchme, sometimes when the Gemara tells us the name of the father, it's not really the father. It's more of a characteristic of the person. And maybe Uchme, which means black, which means a not so lustrous type of a figure. So this Ado was known as Uchme. He was the one who didn't always give us the right answer. Maybe. That's my suggestion. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, I'll show you that Rav Hoshaya's Bryce is the more correct one. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, man sisin nami daika, that Rav Hoshaya's Bryce is correct, that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, who said that it's only b'dieved, if they're nolad hu umumo imo, that you're allowed to go be mevaker. You're not allowed to go and do this l'chatchila. And the diuk is from the following. Diktoni, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon said, Kol she'ein mumo nikar me erev yontif. It says if the mum is not visible, recognizable from erev yontif, ein zemen amuchan, then it's not considered muchan because there was no mum at all present, and therefore you're not allowed to be misaking it according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, my ein mumo nikar. What does it mean? There's no mum nikar. Ilemo she'ein mumo nikar klal, that there was no mum whatsoever. Then pshita. Why would I need anybody to tell me that that's not allowed according to Rabbi Shimon? You're not allowed to go and do a bdika. You're not allowed to go call the mumcha to check it out. So therefore, if that was the case, pshita, tzrich lemeimar, would you have to tell me that? Obviously not. Ella, what is the case? Ella, delo ischazi l'chacham erev yontif. As we said, it wasn't shown, it occurred on erev yontif, but it wasn't shown to the Talmud Chacham on erev yontif to decide imum kavuahu, imum overhu. And therefore, that's what the case is talking about. Now, k'toni mias, therefore, we now have explained this as following, ein zeh min hamuchan. It's not considered, even according to Rabbi Shimon, to be allowed to go and check out this mum. This implies it's not min hamuchan, even b'dieved. Oh, that's exactly the way we wanted to explain the Braisa according to Rav Hoshaya, that both of the first two cases are even b'dieved. And it's only in the third case that it's l'chatchila no, but b'dieved yes, when it's nolad hu umumo imo. Oh, shmamino, that is a good raya, that's the right way to learn the first Braisa. And not the way that Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna and the way that Ado Bar Uchme had learned it. Now the Gemara asks another question. Boy Minei, and the Bach says it should be Rav Hillel, and it should be not from Rava, but it should be from Rabba. So the following Shiloh was asked by Rav Hillel, he was one of the Amoroyim, from Rabba. And he asked, Yesh Muktzu L'Chatzi Shabbos, O Ein Muktzu L'Chatzi Shabbos. Now what's this question over here? Normally we say that if something is Muktzu Bein Hashmashos, Migu, the iskatsoi, bein hashmashos, iskatsoi, kol hayom kula. So if something is muktzah at the start of Shabbos during the bein hashmashos period of time, so then it stays muktzah the rest of the Shabbos. But here we're talking about, it wasn't muktzah at the start of Shabbos, because can something become muktzah for half of Shabbos? Or for Yom Tov? Yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, o ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos? That's the question that Rav Hillel asked from Rabba. What are we talking about? Hechidomi. Ida achzei bein hashmashos, if it was Achse means it was usable, Bein HaShemashos, so then, Achse, so what's your question? If something is not Muktzah during the Bein HaShemashos period of time, then it's not Muktzah on Shabbos. Either Lo Achse, if it isn't usable, in other words, it is Muktzah Bein HaShemashos, so then Lo Achse, so then it's Muktzah all Shabbos long. Again, the principle of Migu, Diskatzosai, Bein HaShemashos, is it's called Kula Yamukula. So that principle is true. Nobody doubts that. So then what is Rav Hillel asking? Where it says, Lo Tzricha, Rav Hillel is asking from Rabba the following. The Achse, it was usable during the Bein HaShemashos period of time. But then, V'hadar Idche, something pushed it aside and made it not usable at some point on Shabbos. And then, whatever it was that pushed it aside, went away. V'hadar Achse, and now it's usable again. So at the Bein HaShemashos period of time, it was usable. Then 10 o'clock at night, it became not usable. And 10 o'clock in the morning, it became usable. Do we say, once it's Muktzah, then it's Muktzah the rest of Shabbos? Or we say, no, it was Muktzah for this period of time, but now it's not Muktzah. My, that's Rav Hillel's question to Rabba. So Rabbah responds, Omalei, Yesh Muktzah. Yeah, you do have this concept. Once it becomes Muktzah on Shabbos, it's Muktzah for the rest of Shabbos, even though the reason for it being Muktzah went away. So you do have this concept of Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. Once it becomes Muktzah, it's Muktzah the rest of Shabbos, even if the reason goes away. That is what Rabbah responds to Rav Hillel. Now we question this. Eisvei, the Gemara says, really? Are you right, Rabbah? Vishavin, we just learned in this Brisa, which we now mentioned many times, the Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both say, Shimnolad, now again, here's where the Bach said before, we added for the entire Amud, Hu Umumo Imo, that if the baby cow, let's say, I give the example of cow, but it could be a goat or a sheep, if the baby cow is born with a mum. So, Shezet Min HaMuchan. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say that that is Min HaMuchan. Now, am I? Why is that so? Neima, we should say the following. Hai Bechor, this Bechor inside the mother, Meikara Havi Chozli Agavime. Just like you could have shechted the mother. Now, there is no problem with shechting a mother that is pregnant with a Bechor animal inside of her, because the din of Bechor is only at birth. So, there's no Isser, it's not Kachim, it's not a Bechor yet. It's just considered uber yerachimo. And you can go shecht the mother, even though she's never given birth before and she's pregnant. It's not a problem of shechting the mother. And therefore, the baby inside of her, this fetal cow, is considered at this point in time a perfectly non-muktzah, perfectly kosher, usable animal at the start of the yontif. So therefore, meikara havichaze agavime. Now, is yaledle, once this baby is born on yontif, now it's a Bechor. It's a Bechor Tam. And therefore, it's not allowed to be used. It became Muktzah. But when he showed to the Tam Chacham and he declares that this is in fact a Mum Kavua that it was born with, it becomes permissible again. And therefore, this is exactly the case of Achzei. It was first good. Then it was no good. It became Muktzah. And then it became good again. And what do you see? It's not Muktzah. It's good. Ishtarilei. Now you can go and shecht it. So, Kasha on you, Rabbah, how can you say Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos? Here you clearly see that it isn't. It's only Muktzah while it's Muktzah. But if the Muktzah reasoning goes away, the Talmud Chacham says it is a Mum Kavua, so therefore, you are allowed to go shecht it. Kasha on Rabbah's understanding. So, I'm Abaye or Vitem or Rav Safra, either Abaye or Rav Safra answered for Rabbah, no. You know what we're dealing with over here? It never had a Shas Isser. Kigon the Yasvei Dayanei Hosom. The Dayanim was standing there at the moment that this mother gave birth to the baby cow. And as a result, it never had a Shas Isser. So therefore, even though Rabbah's right, that there could be a concept of Yetz Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos, that wasn't the case over here, because the minute this baby calf was born, it was declared, at the moment that it was born, a Mum Kavua, and it never had a Shas Isser. And therefore, it never was Muktzah, and therefore there's no condition of Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos in this case. And in fact, Rabbah's right. In other cases, there could be Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. This case wasn't the case of Yesh Muktzah. That's the first version. Ika the Amrei, others learned it as follows. Amalei, that Rabbah had answered Hillel, Rav Hillel, Ein Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. No, in fact, there is no Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. And in fact, Leimo Messiah, let us now bring a Raya, Vishavin, from this Gemara, that's correct, because now we'll use the Raya the other way. She'im no lad hu umumo imo, if the baby is born with the mum at the moment it's born, shezeh min amuchan, it's considered muchan. Now, again, according to this version, this is a Raya to Rabbah, because v'ha b'char, this b'char at the beginning of Yontif, me'ikar ha'vichazeh agavimeh, it was perfectly eligible to be shechted, because you're shechting the mother, and the baby is inside the mother, uber yerachimo, doesn't require its own shlita, but it's perfectly acceptable, usable, at the beginning of Yom Tiv. Once it's born, it's yaledle, itchele. It's now pushed aside, because it's a Bechor Tam. And only, achzei lechochem, only later on, when you show it to the chochem, ishtrele. So here you clearly see, ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. This supports the second version, the Ika d'Amrei, that Rabbah's answer to Rav Hillel was, Ein Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. But here, according to this version, what previously was slugging up the question is now slugging up the Raya. Amar Abaye V'Tamar Rav Safra, either Abaye or Rav Safra said, no, you can't give us this. This is a case of Yesh Muktzah or Ein Muktzah, because it's not Muktzah. Because Kagon, the Yasvei Dayanei Hosom. Because again, we're dealing with a case where the Mumcha experts were there at the time of the birth. And as the baby cow was coming out, they declare that's a Mum Kavua. And therefore, when they see that happening, it never had a Shas Isser, and therefore, it's not a question of Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos or Ein Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbos. It never was Muktzah. And therefore, this doesn't get off the ground, and we're left still with Rav Hillel's question. Rav Hillel asked Rabbah, what is the din? Yesh muktzah chatzis Shabbos or not? We try again. The Gemara says, Toshma, try bringing a raya from the following braisa from Shabbos. Hayo ochel ba'anovim. If a person was eating grapes, Rashi brings down that this is a revusa, that this is teaching us an additional idea here. Revusa nokai. The lo tema, you don't tell me, kivin the ochel v'holech, lowly boy has mana. Since he's eating them, he doesn't have to be mazmin them, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second. But even though he's eating them, he still has to be mazmin them in order for them not to be muktzah. Now, when they're food, all food items are by definition not muktzah. But here we're talking about if a person was eating grapes, v'osir, and he finished eating the grapes and he left over some. So what he says, well, I'd like to have raisins. So v'halon l'gag, lasus v'hem tzvukin. He brings them up to the rooftop to dry them out in the sun so they can become raisins. Or, likewise, if he was eating betanim, he was eating figs, and he finished eating, and he still had some figs left over. V'hosir, the leftover figs, the helon l'gag, he brings them up to the roof. Lasus v'hem grogros, he wants to make them into dried figs. So in both of these situations, lo yochal mehen, he's not allowed to go eat the raisins or the grogros, the tzvukin or the grogros, unless he specifically stated before Yontif started that I hereby am saying that these are still ochal and I wish to reserve the right to eat them on Yontif. Now, the same halacha applies with other fruits, a farsikin of peaches, a chavushin of quinces, ubashar komine peros, any other peros. Now, what's the case? If they were usable, they were edible at the Bein Hashemoshos period of time, then why would I have to do hasmana? Like I said, every food item is considered not muktzah. You don't have to designate all the food that you have in your house to say that I'm reserving the right to eat it on Yom Tov. No, by definition, every food is not muktzah. Every food is mukhan. Now, if they were therefore edible at the start of the Bein HaShemashos period of time of Yom Tov, so then why would you need to be masim them? Either lo chazu, if they're not eligible to be eaten, they weren't edible at that time, ki asmin lahu, then even though you declare them that they're a food item, it might have it. How does that help? As Rashi says, halo chazi la'achila, they're not able to be eaten. So you can declare them mukhan all you want. V'lo mahani lahu asmana. You can't declare a rock that it's going to be edible. So these drying fruits, they're in the process of drying, so they're not grapes, they're not figs, but they're not yet raisins, and they're not yet grogros, they're not yet dried figs. And there's no difference, and you can't go be mazmin and declare that the eitzim and the avonim are muchan liachila. Nobody eats them. So therefore, this isn't a food. So your hasmana doesn't do any good. So if they're edible, you don't need to be mazmin them. If they're not edible, then you can't be mazmin them. Aye, the Gemara says, you know what we're talking about? The Chitema, you're going to tell me, the lo yada, he doesn't know. Ichazu, are they edible? Ilochazu, are they not edible? So then, again, you don't need hasman in that situation. Vamar of Kahana, Rav Kahana already taught us, muktzah sheyavesh, if you have something that was muktzah, it was in the process of drying, and then it dried out, so it's edible, they ain't habala makirinbo, but the owners didn't know that that happened. Nevertheless, mutter, because you do not have to know every food that you have in your house. Any food that you have, by definition, oh, I forgot about that box of cookies. So it's not that it's muktzah, it's by definition edible. So even though you didn't know that your dried fruit were edible, if the bottom line is you can tell that they were edible, you'd have to be able to tell that they were edible at the start of Yom Tov, so then, or Shabbos, you would be allowed to eat them. So that can't be the case either. Elo, lav dechazu. Mustn't be talking about, and here's the answer to Rabbah's giving to Rav Hillel's question, is there muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos or not? Mustn't be talking about elolav, the chazu, they originally were edible, the idchu, and then they became unedible. They were not dried out at the beginning, so they still were edible. Then they started to dry out on Shabbos, or Yontif, and they became unedible, inedible. The hadar achzu, and then they dried out fully, and now they're eligible to be eaten as raisins or grogros. Aye, the Amris ain muktzah. If you're telling me that there's no concept of muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos, so lo malu hasmana, then why would I have to go be mazmin them? If by definition they're foods, and there's no din of muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos, so then any food is by definition not muktzah. Oh, mustn't it be that in this situation there is muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos? And that's why if you weren't mazmin them, then the muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos kicks in. So the answer to Rav Hillel is that there is muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos. The Gemara says not necessarily so. Based upon what you just said, Elamai, yesh muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos? No. then ki azbin, then how did it work that you were mazbin it? My heavy. Again, you can't be mazbin something that is not an ocha. And if you're telling me that it's muksa, so how does your hazmana change that around? So Gemara says, you're right. Lo tzricha, but the chiddush is over here, is the achsu velo achsu. The chiddush is as follows, that they were somewhat usable, but not fully usable. What does that mean? The ika inshe, the achlit. There are some people, maybe a heartier stomach, that would eat these drying fruits. They're not really very tasty, but some people would eat them. Vika inshe, but many people, the lo achlit, would not eat them. And therefore, it's a toss-up. Are they food? Are they not food? Some people eat them, some people don't. And therefore, Osman, when this person is Mazman them, he says, I'm declaring this as a food, Goli Daite, he's declaring it, that I hold that it's edible. Lo Osman, but without his Hasmona, then he's not declaring that it's edible. Lo Goli Daite, and therefore we can't say. As a result, though, this has nothing to do with the Yesh Muktzah or not. This is a totally separate discussion, and we still have no answer to Rav Hillel's question to Rabbah. Try again. Gemara says, Amar Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira says, I will show you Toshma Mipulin Vadashim. I will show you a brisa that deals with pulin, which is a certain type of beans, and adashim, lentils. What is that? Daha pulin v'adashim, when you go and take pulin, these beans, and adashim, these lentils, meikara chazu lakos. They are edible. It's not in their optimal state, but if a person wants to chew on these beans, these raw beans, or these raw lentils, they can. They're chazu lakos, so therefore they're foods. Shadinu b'kdeira, but as soon as you throw it into the pot, itchulu, they're now cooking. They're not edible until they're fully cooked. So when they're raw, they're actually edible. When they're cooking, they're inedible while they're cooking because they're boiling hot. Now, when you take them off the fire, they become edible again. We turn to Chosai and Amud Aleph. That's what the Gemara tells us. Gomar bishulayhu, when you finish cooking them, Rashi says, ishteru. That's chazulu, the Gemara says. And Rashi points out, and we don't say, well, they were muktzah for this period of time that they were cooking, and therefore, yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. So therefore, Reb Zeira Raya is that you are allowed to eat the pulin and the adashim when they're cooked, so therefore, it must be that ain muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. But the Gemara doesn't accept that. Omele Abaye, Abaye says that's incorrect. Ultaimech, according to you, as Rashi says, the mashvish l'hu, that you're making l'risi chosson, Torah's muktzah, you're saying that, well, they're boiling, they're muktzah, and therefore, the alphas minot, and you're learning from here, the ain muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, so then you got a bigger problem. He says, how would you ever allow to eat any kedera? How would you ever allow to have any food? If this concept is true, that while it's cooking, it's muktzah, so I'm going to buy it, well, tamech, according to you, that this concept of muktzah while it's cooking occurs, to tikshe lo kederas li'ama. How could anybody ever eat any food on Shabbos? We all have it on the blech, we all have it cooking during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time. The stuff is boiling during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time. And if you're telling me that it's inedible when it's boiling during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time, so then we would have the principle of something that is muktzah Bein HaShemoshos is muktzah l'kula yom kula. And therefore, how could you l'urta achlina minayu? How could you possibly go and ever eat it? It was muktzah. So therefore, the answer must be Ella gamru be they adam. Anything that man has the potential to stop, i.e. take it off the fire, so then that's not considered muktzah. And therefore, lo komi boilon, that wasn't Rav Hillel's question to Rabbah. Everybody agrees that there is no concern with this muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos when you're dealing with something that is capable of being stopped, be they adam. If man controls it, so to say, I can take it off the fire, so then it's not considered muktzah for chatzi Shabbos. What Rav Hillel's question was Gomru B'dei Shamayim, does it or does it not have the same din of Muktzah for Chatzi Shabbos or Ein Muktzah for Chatzi Shabbos if it's totally under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control? If it's something that we don't run, the Chama, for example, Ayidei Chama, the Kivin Shem B'yodo L'sakno Mosach Daiti Minei. Do we say, since you don't have control over how fast it's going to dry, so then it's out of your mind, and therefore, even if it becomes no longer inedible, it's considered out of your mind. Yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. Or maybe not. We say no. Ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. That question that Rav Hillel asked Rabbah remains unanswered. And this is a good break point for us to stop today's shiur.